You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
There, okay. Yes, we do have four children, but they're old now. The oldest is going to be 32 in February, which makes me feel, and then Luke's going to be 30 in a couple of weeks, and then we have twin girls that'll be 28, so I just feel very old. As long as everybody stayed in their teens and 20s, I felt young and hip. And now they're in their 30s. Good night. So, all right. Well, first of all, thanks for coming out. Grateful for you guys to show up. Because if you said yes to this, it meant you said no to something else. So thanks for coming up. I'm probably not going to teach anything that you don't already know. So you're like, great. Then why did I show up? What the heck? But hopefully it'll be an encouragement. My goal hopefully this morning is to either encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, or remind you, or to give you a new thought about keep praying for your children and how we should pray for our children. Now, when you think about prayer, probably often our first response is guilt, right? Crap, that's something else I should be doing that I'm not doing. It's something I should be doing, I'm not doing. If you are doing, you think you're not doing it enough, or you can't remember the last time you did pray for your kids other than in that, you know, that moment. Just a couple real quick things about prayer. The mere fact that you're even anxious about your prayer life is an indication that you're spiritually alive. How many people before you came into a personal relationship with God through Christ did you even care about your prayer life, right? Most of us had never even crossed our minds. The only time I ever worried about my prayer life, I got a brand new raincoat, ripped a pocket. I knew I was going to get in trouble, and I asked God to heal it overnight. That's about the only time I can remember about praying. So the mere fact that you're worried about your prayer life is good. Secondly, whether you've prayed or not prayed or anything like that has no impact on whether you can approach the Father. If you are in Christ, right, he sees you holy and blameless without a single fault. Your ability to draw near to the Father is based on what Christ did, not on what you did or didn't do lately, right? So as you're thinking about your prayer life, I haven't prayed, then don't think, well, golly, God must be so disappointed in me, so how dare I draw near? No, we draw near because of what Jesus has done. And lastly, this is Luke 15:20. Some of you who are familiar with the Bible know that parable. It's the son who asks his father, I want my inheritance now. And so he communicates, Dad, I don't care about you at all. I just want your stuff. So Dad has to liquidate his property. He gives his money to the son. The son goes out, parties his brains out, spends it all. And when he has nothing left, he's coming back to the Father. Now, if you were the son, we all have ideas what we'd be thinking, what my father is thinking. That little slimy kid, I hope he feels bad. I hope blah, 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 right? And that's what we often think about our own kids sometimes, if we're honest. That little brat. But that's not the way the Father responded. The Father, it's the picture of the Father like plowing a field, looking up at the horizon, looking for his son and being disappointed every day when the son doesn't come back. And so the one time the son comes to his senses, he's coming home. What's the father do? He gets up and he came to us. So he gets up. This is the son. So the son gets up, comes to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion for him, ran and embraced and kissed him. So if you've not prayed for a while, just in your mind, when you think about praying, that this is the perspective God wants you to have as you think about praying. It would have been unheard of in the first century for a father to pick up his robes and run towards his kids. Unheard of, not respectable or anything like that. And so God is trying to communicate how excited he is when we turn to him in prayer. And so as you're thinking about prayer, please ask the Holy Spirit, give me this perspective because what would be more important to pray about than your own kids, right? You know what? Every once in a while, if I say right, somebody say, yeah, oh yeah, that's what I was thinking, hallelujah, like you're engaged or something, or I don't know, but come on now, and be grateful. I shouldn't talk real long, so you have a couple more minutes before you have to pick up your kids, but this is how God views when you're praying. He's so excited. He's like, oh, yeah, let's pray, all right? So I just wanted to talk a little bit about that because at least often when I think of somebody wrote, some famous scholar, if you want to humble somebody, ask them about their prayer life, right? So prayer, what is prayer? Prayer is talking to and listening to our Father about the children he has entrusted to your care. God has entrusted us with these children for a short... You think it's going to be bloody forever some mornings, right? They're never going to get out of the house. But it's really a short... You'll blink. You'll blink and it'll be gone. And so God has entrusted us with these kids. We play a key role. And so we have a chance. So praying is we're going to talk and listen because the Father knows our kids better, like Sherry prayed. And so he has things to tell us about our children and our role in their lives. And, you know, if you have any question as we go along, please feel free to stop and say, what are you talking about there, all right? And so these are some of the truths that motivated me to pray for our kids. And I'm assuming these are some of the truths that motivate you to pray as well for your children. As a parent, we need all the help we can get, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Certain days you're more aware of that than others, right? And you look at our culture and you look at the complexity of the issues, the topic Niketrick is going to be talking about. I needed all the help I could get. So why wouldn't I want to pray? You know what? If you don't want to write all these things down, I can send you my PowerPoint if you want it. So feel free, okay? And children, while they are of great, great, great worth, they still have a sin nature. What does that mean? They still have that part of them that wants to do their own thing, that wants to run their own lives, right? How many of you had to teach your child how to lie? Right? They have a marker in their hand. There's a big mark on the wall. Did you do that? No. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. No. Oh, really? Mine. Right. So there's these areas where we're inadequate and we're in a spiritual battle with an unscrupulous adversary. I like that word, unscrupulous. He's a cheater. He has no scruples when it comes to the battle for your children. He's not going to play fair. And so we're inadequate in so many of these areas. And so we desperately need to somehow get God included on this whole issue. And praise God that he is adequate, right? Yes, we have roles and all that kind of stuff. But if you're a mom or a dad, and you admit, man, there are so many areas I feel like I'm over my head. And so we're inadequate, but God is adequate. God knows your kids and loves your kids more than you do. Or he knows the deepest little, the same way as he knows our deepest, darkest secrets, right? That we don't want anybody else to know about. Yeah, man, everybody's going like, oh yeah. It's the same way he knows our kids. He made them, right? And so he knows our children. Why wouldn't we want to talk to him? Why wouldn't we want to pray to him if he knows our kids better than we do? And he knows what's best for them. As a parent, we often think, well, I know best. And God's, no. And again, the longer you parent, the more you see how your own crap gets in there and distorts stuff. Well, God does know what is best for them. He knows what's best for them. But yet, why is it so hard to pray for our kids, right? Holy moly. Anybody else? I schedule. I have a day. This is the day that I pray for my kids. Because if I don't schedule it, it doesn't happen. And then all the other times too. But often that day, I go like, it's harder than heck to get to my time to pray. But it's so sometimes. Again, we know it. But gosh, it's so hard. And I think part of it is the important versus the urgent, right? You guys know this. Urgent requires immediate action. Immediate action. Important, this I just looked it up in my little dictionary. Something that is important is of great significance or value, likely to have a profound effect on success, survival, or well-being. The important versus the urgent. These are important, urgent tasks, right? You got to feed them, change them, fix dinner, do homework, get to school, give them a bath, discipline. Or in this isn't my kids. It was just a picture I got off the internet. It looks like there's soap bubbles everywhere, right? So that would be an important, urgent task. So as a parent, you know that, right? There's just so much that just, right? Oh, good night. And they are important, urgent things. You got to feed them. You got all that stuff. And so we understand that. But yet, prayer is so important. It's not urgent. Nobody knows if you haven't prayed for your kids for a couple weeks, right? Now, they'll know if you haven't changed their diaper in about 4 hours or something, right? But nobody knows this stuff. And so there's not this often an external thing. And so the important virtues, the urgent. And then even when you do pray, right, all kinds of distractions from your grocery list to what needs to be done, right? Yeah, we're like, oh, good night, yes, yes. And then if you say yes to prayer, that means you're saying no to something else. And that might be a nap, a very desperately needed nap. It may be your only time to read that novel that you've wanted to read on your fancy thing. Or maybe watching that TV show that everybody's talking about, that you think, oh my God, if I could just, please, right? So you know, I'm just telling you what you guys already know. But on some level, if we were honest with ourselves, we have to admit that we doubt its efficacy. That somehow I think, if I just try harder, or I get this done, or I think about this, or I do that, or I put this little... You all know what I'm talking about. So at some level, it becomes a heart issue, and we have to stop thinking, now, wait a minute, what is going to be the most effective thing for my kids? If I do X, Y, Z, if I, whatever, make a nicer treat or do this or take them to another extracurricular thing, or what is going to be the most effective? Me over here doing stuff, being busy, or if I take that same amount of time or even a little bit of that time and just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, please enable me to pray. Because we should not be surprised when we don't want to pray, right? We, the same way that our kid has that ingrained desire to do his own thing, so do we. And so there's going to be an allergic reaction often to prayer. And so we're going to have to ask, Holy Spirit, help me. And thank God for verses like Romans 8:26, right? In the same way, the Spirit helps with our weaknesses because we don't know how to pray as we should. And so we have God calling us to us. You know, He's calling us to prayer. He's given us His Holy Spirit to enable us to pray. He's given us each other. So when you're together, you can pray. And so it is hard to pray. Good night. But yet God's given us all these provisions that enables us and encourages us to pray. So it's not just like, I've got to grit my teeth and pray. Watch out, world. Right? So, what should we pray for? Now, eventually, I'm going to talk about praying for your kids. I promise. But the first thing I realized when it came to parenting, I had to pray for myself. I had to pray for myself as a parent. And you can pray about anything. Right? Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So we can pray for anything. And we should. Absolutely. Absolutely. But in addition to all these things we pray about, I wonder if you would consider praying for things like this. And most of the things I'm going to talk about is scripture. Praying scripture for yourself and praying scripture for your kids. And why? Because it's what we talked about. God knows best. God created us. God created the world. He knows. And so some of the things that I prayed for myself then, and I continue to pray for myself, is that the Lord would cause my love to increase and abound for my children and now my kids' spouses, right? Now what you may think is, well, of course I love my children. you've had this experience when they're sleeping and you look at them, you think, oh, they are just so precious. And then within 30 seconds that they're awake, like, oh my God, I'm going to kill that, right? You're like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You're like, what? And I'd often think, what happened? What just happened, right? Amen. Like, my golly. Yes. So, I would ask, and I continue to ask God, Lord, help me to love like Christ loves. Help me to love sacrificially, patience, kind, all those fruits of the spirits, right? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Again, it seems like there's, other than maybe our spouses, there's nothing but our kids that can really generate a response like you never thought possible. There's some mothers like, oh yeah, just this morning, matter of fact, right? Right. And so, Lord, cause my love to grow for my kids. Because think, how easy is it to just sit them in front of an iPad when you just don't want to screw around with them anymore? Or as they get older and junior high, you're the unwillingness to be the driver. You're thinking, let Billy's mom, for God's sakes, I've driven for 6 weeks. Right? These were my, not to listen. To this day, one time, my daughter, I was not listening to one of my daughters, and I'm starting to walk away, and she said, Mom, I'm not done. I'm like, oh, wow, right? Or to follow through on discipline. That was one of my super weaknesses. Still to this day, I can see. I have to ask people for input. And so these were things I would pray for myself, and these are all things that Scripture emphasizes. And then pray for wisdom. Good night. And this I pray. So these are examples of what Paul prayed. That your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Boy, oh boy. The older our children get, the deeper I've come to appreciate this prayer. And I would think it's the same way with you. When your kids are little, you think, should I hold them now or let them cry? Didn't you think that was like the biggest issue? Are they pooping enough or not enough? Are they peeing enough? Right? You thought those were life-altering. And then they get to middle school. When do I get them a cell phone? When do I let them to go to this sleepover? When do I let them watch this show? How much shows do they watch? Right? I still am praying for wisdom. How do I come along an adult and parent my adult children? How do I do it in a way that is encouraging and affirming and not disruptive or disunifying? And so this, I've come to appreciate this prayer more and more and more the older my children become. Because again, I'm not telling you something you guys don't already know. The world that your kids have to grow up in, we have a chance to be a greater light than ever. But boy, oh boy, the issues are complex. Thank God for community, right? Thank God for community. So, the issues become more complicated. The answers are not so clear. Good night. And then as my kids got older, this was a prayer that I started to pray more often. Lord, show me where I'm getting in your way as you work in their lives. Sins, one of the poor ways I parented it, I wanted to rescue. I didn't want my kids to suffer bad consequences. And because I wanted to have fun. And God, if they're suffering, then that wasn't going to be any fun at all. So, I mean, it's like, come on. I mean, they wouldn't brush our teeth. I mean, would you just brush your teeth because we could have fun? So, come on now, this is dumb. Brush your teeth. Not because it's good for your teeth, but I'm going to have to discipline you and we want to have fun and come on. We live in a culture where we rescue our kids, that we are hesitant. Our culture is hesitant to let our children experience age-appropriate frustration, age-appropriate failure, age-appropriate disappointment. But it was very, very helpful as I realized that those are the very things that God wants to work on their character. That he's as interested in their character as he's interested in my character. And I realized that if I swoop in there, yes, I'm the knight, the queen in shining armor or something, but am I interfering with what God is doing in their lives? And so this is I still pray this. I still am praying this. Lord, show me. And this, again, is prayer is one aspect, but this is where community comes in so helpful, because we can't see clearly when it's our kid, right? Holy cow. Your mother-in-law, Yvonne, your mother-in-law, Lindsay, I'm always asking her. She's so good with this stuff. Boy, oh boy, she's really got such a good grasp there. And so hopefully you'll have friends that will be honest with you and say, you need to get the heck out of there and just let it, you know, let them resolve that. So, okay. And then lastly, Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Lord, show me hurtful ways with thee within my parenting. Now, does God show us our hurtful ways because he delights rubbing our nose in it? Of course not. Of course not. God wants to show us these things so our relationship with our kids are healthier. Our kids, I mean, when your kids get old, you'll see your sin in them. Like, oh, good night. But at least maybe we can minimize some of them, right? And so it's a question, Lord, where is my self-centeredness influencing my parenting? Show me, Lord, because I love these kids that you've entrusted in my care. I don't want my love for fun, my inability to follow through with discipline because it's not fun and they won't like me. Show me that, Lord. And he did. And so this was another prayer that I don't have to do this one so much because they're out of the house. But God will make your kids' sin clear. He promises that. What I would often pray is, Lord, give me the backbone to respond to it in a gracious way. Because I don't like follow through. I don't like people not to like me. When you're disciplining your kids, they don't like you. And so this would be a prayer along that line. Lord, I know my weakness. I know my tendency. And especially as they get to junior high and high school, and you're like, holy moly, right? Oh, yeah. Fortunately, you don't find out some of the stuff they did until after they are out of high school and they're adults. And you're like, oh, I don't think my sons ever went to first period ever in high school. I don't think it was that bad, but they went to Nancy's a lot. They could tell you what was on menu first period. So I found that afterwards. God promises to answer these prayers. If you're praying for the ability to love your kids, if you're praying for wisdom, if you're praying for, Lord, show me where my self-centeredness is impact, he promises to answer these prayers. He promises. 1 John 5:14 and 15, and this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request we have asked from him. He will give you what you need. Now, it may not be like 6 weeks from now, like, oh, Lord, give me patience next year at that party. No, he'll give it to you when you need it in the moment. Because he's a gracious God. He's not a mean God. He's a gracious God. He loves you. He loves your kids. And so in the moment, the ability to, like, say, I'm going to pull my hair out. I'm tempted to go put them in front of the TV, but I'm not. Let's go outside to play. Let's go do something, right? So in the moment, he'll get it, but he will answer those prayers because he promises, and God cannot break a promise. So those were some things to pray, and you're thinking, finally, could we talk about praying for my kids? That's what I'm here for. Again, when it comes to our children, we can talk to God about anything, and he wants us to, like any good parent. Isn't it exciting when you're there and your kid runs up and tells you a story, but sometimes it can really get tiring after a while, you know? And they're like, okay, get to the punchline. Come on. But deep down inside, we want to know what's going on. We want it. There's such a joy and excitement. And when you get older and you can actually have adult conversations, it's even better. That's great. Yeah. Some of you probably aren't. You're thinking we can never ever talk about other than Pokemon. It's never going to happen. You're lying. I'm not. But so you can pray for long-term things, spouse, their health, their protection, their friendship. Sometimes you think that potty training might be a long-term goal as well, right, in the moment. But again, you can pray about all those things. And it was interesting when I looked online just what to pray for your kids. This is the kind of stuff that often came up. Short-term things, help me, Jesus. What am I going to do now, right? In the moment, hopefully, when you're about ready to just beat your head against the wall, because you can't figure out your kid saying, I'm not putting my shoes on today, and then he embarrasses you in front of everybody else, and it's really a mess, right? Little things, short term, help me, Jesus. What in the world am I going to do now? So again, God wants us to pray for all kinds of stuff, and I'm sure you guys do. I am sure some of you are already praying for their future spouses. I'm sure that you all are facing all kinds of situations, and there are specific things you're praying for, like their health. If you have a sick kid, oh my gosh, their friendships, junior high girls, mean girls. I don't know if you guys have anybody here with junior high girls, but that's like a new breed of everything, right? But in addition, while you're praying about those things, I really would encourage you to pray scripture for your children. And I have two categories of the kind of scripture that I've prayed for my kids for years now. Okay, why would we pray scripture? Again, God knows what's best. Right? He created him. He created the world. He knows the best way to live life. We don't. We are inclined away from God. And you look at the culture we live in that's trying to live life apart from God, and it's not doing so well. Right? It's tragic. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. Heartbreaking as we see probably some of your friends and the decisions they make and the fractures in their marriage and with their kids. And God knows best. And I found that often praying scripture, it goes after matters of the heart that only God can address. And this is the other thing that we're going to talk about. If some of these large, and this will make more sense as we go. If some of the larger issues are sorted out in your kids' lives, then some of the smaller issues are going to be impacted as well. And I'm going to show you what that means, because this years ago I heard Gary DeLashman, who's one of our senior elders that started the church, do a teaching out of Ephesians 1 and a praying to according to God's will. And it did change the way I prayed ever since. And that's been years ago. And this was part of the reason. When we pray scripture, what we're doing, we're aligning our prayers in accordance with God's priorities, what God says is important. And again, if God made us, if God created us, if God created your kids and he loves your kids, why wouldn't you want to pray his priorities? Because again, the priorities we see in our culture, maybe the priorities we grew up with in our families, the priorities we're drawn towards, are often not what God's priorities and values are. And again, as you think through your life and when you've gotten your life out of line with what God says is important, it does not go well. Maybe in the short term you do okay, but in the long term, it comes to haunt us, right? So let's look at Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. This was the teaching I heard Gary do that really did change the way I prayed. So this is what Paul prays. These are prayers that come right out of Scripture, which is God's will. And so these are the things I've prayed for my kids. Ephesians 1 says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. What? So that you may know him better. I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for those who believe. All right? So, Paul is praying for the Ephesians what he thinks is the most important thing God could give them. Not that he gets a part in the play, not that he makes the team, not that he beats the other guy up, whatever. What is the most important thing Paul said his audience could have? That they would know God better. So this is from the book Prayer by Tim Keller. He says, what is the most important thing? It is to know him better. Paul explains this with color and detail. It means having the eyes of their hearts enlightened. biblically, the heart is the control center of the entire self, is the repository of one's core commitments, deepest loves, and the most foundational hopes that control our feelings, thinking, and behavior. To have the eyes of the heart enlightened with a particular truth means to have it penetrate and grip us so deeply that it changes the whole person. In other words, we may know that God is holy, but when our hearts and eyes are enlightened to that truth, then we not only understand it cognitively, but emotionally we will find God's holiness wondrous and beautiful, and volitionally we avoid attitudes and behavior that would displease or dishonor him. Paul sees this fuller knowledge of God as a more critical thing to receive than a change in circumstances. Without this powerful sense of God's reality, good circumstances can lead us to overconfidence and spiritual indifference. Then again, without this enlightened heart, bad circumstances can lead to discouragement and despair, because the love of God would be an abstraction rather than the infinitely consoling presence it should be. That's pretty complicated for your two-year-old, right? But think about it. What if your kid had a growing sense of a deeper knowledge of God? Wow! 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 It would change everything. It would, if your kid was convinced God loved him, peer pressure gets put into priorities. They're for girls and what they physically look like, that puts in priority. Again, oh my gosh, what if they knew him better? That not all things will go perfectly, of course not. But this is one more provision God's given you to strengthen, perfect, and love your child. It's like a chair, you know, it's one leg of the stool, it's one thing of the rope. Good night. Again, we do pray about all kinds of stuff, but what if this was the heartbeat of your prayer? That you people just like, would you shut up for God's sakes? That's all you pray about. What a good night. How it could change a kid. Again, don't you wish if I prayed this much, this kind of thing? I was thinking about, there's something mysterious about prayer, isn't there? I don't know how it works. I don't know how it works, but it does. And we all can attest to it. It does work. It does matter. God promises, if you pray according to my will, I'll answer your prayer. No, it's not the same as I pray Billy will get 100 and he gets 100 and you're like, hallelujah, answered prayer. It's not like that. But I think what God has done in my life is he gives me pictures where he's answered that prayer. And you're like, oh man, Lord, it was worth it. It was worth it. So, we don't know the future. You don't know the future for your kids. But if they know God better, it's going to provide them the framework to deal with life's issues. So Ephesians, well, how about Ephesians 3, 14 through 21? For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. So these are prayers of Paul that I just took and applied them to my kids, from whom every child in heaven and on earth derives its name. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit and the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus and to all the generations forever and ever. Amen. Paul is getting super wound up, right? Again, Paul's primary concern is to pray for a display of God's mighty power in the domain of our being that controls our character and prepares us for heaven, and the power to enable us to grasp the limitless dimensions of Christ's love. Limitless implications in the life of a child who had an increasing understanding of these truths. Cheesy cow. I just, again, you think about all the crap that your kids are going to face. What if they had this deepening awareness? Yeah, my parents love me, which is really swell. But I know the God of the universe who created me, that created this world, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And then Psalms 139, search me, God. How? And this is really hard when you're, especially this becomes, well, I guess it's important all the time. So that they learn. They learn that they're little self-willed kids. But think, but again, I don't know. Does anybody have junior high kids yet? Oh, boy. Wait, Sherry can remember these days. Junior high, girls fighting. It's all their fault. They're brats. I'm great. They're. Pray this for your boys and girls, right? I shouldn't just hit on girls. It's really unfair. Relational conflict. What if our kids grow up with this understanding, oh, I've got a role in conflict. There's something inherently that I need Jesus to pay for my sin, that I'm not a perfect little human being. It's painful. I don't know anybody who says, wow, I can't wait for God to expose my sin. It's going to be a great time. We don't like it, but how essential is it, right? James 1:5, but if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to them. This is in the context of trials. This is in the context of trials. Again, we live in a culture that we have the money, and we have this expectation. If anything bad happens, we either buy something, or go on another vacation, or get a treat, or something. But what if we're praying this for our kids? Lord, give my child. What a great thing you could give your child if your child grew up seeing this bad thing hurts like heck. I don't like it. But what is God trying to do in my life, Mommy? What is God trying to do in these circumstances? Where's God at work? What? Your child's future spouse will be so grateful. So these are things that we can pray. These are prayers of Scripture that you can turn around and apply them to your children. And again, I'm not saying you don't pray about all the other stuff. But in addition, or maybe start out with these things, and then, Lord, help them with X, Y, Z. Okay? This is another one. This is Colossians 1:5-6. This is Paul's praying for the Colossians. And he says, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world, is it constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even it has been doing in you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God and truth. This, an increasing understanding of God's acceptance based on what Christ has done. What if the gospel, that I am acceptable before God, not based on what I do, but what Jesus has done on the cross, what if that became the framework and the bedrock of your child's life? Acceptance apart from performance, free to admit their sin, free to fail. Again, seems like pie in the sky, right? But as you pray these things, ask God to open my eyes that I can see answers to this. So you can pray those things. So what I've done is those prayers that I know to be according to God's will, I've prayed them. And then the other thing when it comes to Scripture, I pray for those things that Scripture says is true about us. That they are God's workmanship. Ephesians 2 says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. Again, what if your child grew up believing that Greek word for workmanship is the word that we get our English word poem. Poema, I believe, is the Greek word. I'm probably destroying it. But you think about a poem and how well it's crafted and how thoughtfully it's crafted. What if your kid grew up thinking, not that I'm compared to so-and-so, or I'm not as smart, or not as fast, or not as pretty, or all that, but they grew up thinking, I'm God's workmanship. Now, you can tell them, and you should, but again, these are matters of the heart that only God can address. And it is their spirit. Now, we have a role. I'm not saying we don't have a role. I'm not saying that at all, right? But some of this are spiritual issues that only God can address. And so in addition to affirming your kid, all that stuff, praying this, God, teach him this, that they're God's workmanship. And if they grasp this, that God has a role for me for all eternity, it makes the world less attractive. It's a very attractive world a lot of our children will be raised in. Affluence, money, stuff, prettiness, all kinds of crap. Some of it's not so. But a lot of it's really attractive. Because we know it because we're all attracted to it. We're not like, yeah, those poor kids. Woo! We all know it. Come on now. We all know it. But if I'm convinced of this, if my child's convinced of this, the world is less attractive. Thomas Chalmers, who wrote in the 1700s, I believe, has this little booklet called The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. It's not that the world isn't attractive, but they understand this so much more that this thing, this stuff, the drugs, the sex, the booze, the materialism has less of an affection because this is so much greater. And so again, we have a role to play, but pray, Lord, help my kids understand that. And again, this is just a, and I'm sure you guys have had this a million times, just don't settle for external obedience. Make my kid obey. Not that I didn't pray that a lot, especially when I was in public and my public parenting was at issue. Oh, Lord, just make him obey so I look good. But don't settle for that, right? Don't settle for that. Romans, what if your kid knew they were God's adopted child? That when they think, who am I? I am a child of a king. So who cares about what you... Now, again, it hurts and all that stuff. I'm not saying that. But on a fundamental... Who cares what you think? Who cares whether I failed? I am a child of a king. And so you all can just go jump in the lake because I am a child of a king. What if they had a deeper sense that God is their heavenly father? Wow. Wow. What if they knew God is the faithful in love and care, generous and thoughtful, interested in all we do, respecting our individuality, skillful in training us, wise in guidance, always available, helping us to find ourselves in maturity, integrity. What if they knew God like that? Holy cow, right? Here's just some more. Colossians, that they have a role in God's plan. 1 Thessalonians 3, that God would cause them to overflow in love. That they haven't received a spirit of cowardice, but of power, love, and sound discipline. Gosh, some of us have fearful kids, right? And yes, you do that, but you pray that, or that they're part of a community. We live in such an autonomous world, and we're self-willed. But you grow up, Lord, help them understand they are part of interdependent part of the body of Christ. That they can't make it without this group, and this group can't make it without them. So I think I'm running out of time. So those kind of things. And when you get together, look for them together. If you're trying to, read the Bible, somebody say, let's read Philippians and see what we can pray for our kids. So this is praying strategically. Strategy, it's a plan of action designed to achieve a major overall aim. As a parent, you want your kid to be a God-dependent, gracious giver. You want them to love God and love people. Prayer will be a strategic role in playing that, right? Prayer is a strategic role. Most of us get bogged down with the trivia. Jane's sinus trouble, Ben's discouragement, Mary's problem with her mother-in-law. All these may be important, but prayer, like warfare, calls for strategy. It is said of Napoleon that he'd watched the development of his battles from a vantage, quietly analyzing the situation while he watched. His key general would watch him. The farm, he once said to Marshal Ney. That farm you can see on the ridge there, take it, hold it. For if you can, the battle is won. In praying for the Ephesians, Paul was aware that the key to the whole battle was won, lesser skirmishes would sort themselves out rather easily. Smaller problems are so often symptomatic of larger issues. Prayer must be directed at that which is the key. It concerns itself with strategy and not tactics. If therefore one thinks that Paul's prayer is spiritual and not practical, it is a sign how blind it is. So you're dealing with the heart issues, then all these other things will be impacted as well. So how do you do it? Read scripture with this in mind. Just as you're reading, write things down. I could pray this for my kid. I could pray this for my kid. Prayer cards and the Praying Life by Paul Miller. He talks about prayer cards. And I know my husband does that. He has 3x5 with a kid. And he'll write down a verse or two that he wants to pray for that kid. I have pictures in my Bible of my kids. And so I just look at them. And I'll look at them and I'll pray for them. So that's one way that's helped me to pray for my kids. Prayer journals. pray with others. These are just real practical ways. Get a notebook and just start writing stuff down. And then write down when you see the answer to prayer. Yeah, it's really, really exciting. So this is from O'Halsby's book on prayer. My friend, if you're not able to leave your children a legacy in the form of money or goods, don't worry about that. And do not wear yourselves to death, either physically or spiritually, in order to accumulate a great deal of property for your children. But see to it night and day that you pray for them. Then you will leave them a great legacy of answers to prayer, which will follow them all the days of their life. Then you may calmly and with a good conscience depart from them, even though you may not leave them with a great deal of material wealth. Boy, that is sure countercultural to our world, isn't it? What if you just, like, wow. So, that's all I had. Is anybody any questions or comments or? Yeah, Rachel.
Hopefully you can hear.
I do.
Okay. One thing I was thinking about while you were talking too is how, as I pray for my kids along the lines you were talking about, I feel like that helps calm my anxieties a lot too.
Yes.
Because there are things like my son was like biting his shirt constantly, and I was so annoyed by it. I'm like, we have to buy new shirts like every month. This is so annoying. And I was getting so worked up about it. And then I started praying like, oh man, this might be anxiety because of this pandemic. And I started getting at those heart issues. And next thing I know, I'm like, oh my gosh, like God has just calmed my heart. And guess what? As I became more relaxed, he just stopped doing it on his own. It was no big deal. But I think there's so many times when I'm so quick to go to, like, I need the newest book. I need to listen
right.
to this podcast. I have to hang out with my mom friends and talk about it. When actually God's like, talk to me. Like, I want to calm you and I want to give you direction.
That's great. That is a great illustration. We had a daughter who ate shirts, too. So she could only wear certain shirts.
My mother-in-law bought me, like, 20 shirts.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but yeah. But that is a great point. That is a great point. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because you know God's going to answer it. This is not, I'm not just like, yeah. Because when you get people's advice, it's just advice. But this is what God says. Yeah, that is great. Thanks, Rachel. That was really, really good. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I felt listening to this like really comforted because I thought way less about myself
right.
this, and just way more about God.
Yes. Yes.
A lot of times, like, I find these meetings helpful and I, like, get ideas and feel, like, really energized to be a better mom. But,
yeah.
like, ultimately, the thing that's going to make me a better mom is to think more about God and less about me.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, there's this book that I read when my first daughter was a newborn that was, I know different versions have different titles, but Raising Your Children for Christ by Andrew Murray.
Okay.
And
yeah.
The chapters are just a couple pages, so they're pretty digestible. But like the repeated theme was, if you just keep entrusting your child to God, it's going to be okay. So it's so comforting because we can like just put too much emphasis on what we're doing or not doing. But like ultimately, if we just keep entrusting them to the Lord and keep praying for them, it will be okay.
It will be okay. It could be, it doesn't mean there won't be a lot of bumpy, there could be a lot of bumpy roads and a lot of pain and heartache, but there's still that confidence that God, like Rachel, you were saying, God's still involved. He's still at work. Yeah. But no, great point. Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to thank you for this teaching. And I agree with Mary that it was just really comforting to know just that it begins with praying for ourselves. And I think something that God's been revealing a lot to me recently is just how driven by fear I am. Saw that in my childhood through my parents.
Yeah.
And it's just super easy to just get caught up in that. And I realized that it's that fear that drives me to want to control my kids or make sure it is about their obedience instead of the longer term of their heart and where it is before God. But I was just thinking about this time, like about a month ago, how I had really just lost my temper with my daughter and then was able to recognize when I humbled myself and went back and apologized to her.
Yeah.
It was amazing because she was able to recognize the humility, and she was like, I forgive you, Mom.
Right.
Like, and I was just thinking how much I wish that you know, my parents did that with me.
Yes. Like, yes.
It was just like something really minor, but it was like the Lord really provided and recognized, like, when you come to me, humble yourself, and then you pray, I'm going to connect all the dots and work it out. And
yes.
It was just like, I don't know, that picture of like, I don't have to be perfect. I don't
right.
have to have this all together. And my daughter helped me to see that.
Right, right.
I don't know. It's just
right.
comforting.
No, that's great. But I liked your point too, that you could see how your fear was impacting what I'm doing right with my kid and how it's not helpful. So that's a great illustration. And again, I think probably a lot of us wish our parents just would apologize when they had lost their you know what. It would have just changed so many things. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know where we get this idea that we're going to be perfect parents. Where did that ever come from? But we do. We all think that. Yeah. Yeah.
I had a question. I still have like a 6-month-old, so I'm praying for diapers and for sleep and all of that.
Right, absolutely. Amen, sister.
You said that you would pray that God would show you how you were getting in the way. And I'm just wondering what that looked like.
Okay, you know, it probably became, well, it became really clear, really simple things. Like, okay, I said that if you do XYZ, you are going to be grounded for 10 hours. And it was a legitimate thing. Well, about 6 hours, I'm like, okay, I really want to go outside and play. So, okay, 6 hours is good enough. Let's go. So it'd be those kind of things where I wouldn't follow through on a discipline that I'd laid out because, and then what to answer that is God wanted to work in their character. So I would minimize discipline. They wouldn't see what they had done wrong. And then God doesn't work in their character, or they don't do their homework. Instead of letting them get a zero, I'm going to run their homework over to them, and then they won't get a bad grade. My oldest son got thrown out of his English class. He said, I got a zero. I called the teacher. I said, did he get it, in fact, a zero? She said, yes. I said, great, good, great, good. Maybe he'll learn. And so I would have interfered with God's discipline if I would have said, oh, no, 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 that's not fair. He shouldn't get a zero. He wasn't that bad. And so those kind of things, it becomes... Or like when your kids are little and all the kids don't like him because he's been a brat. And then you're trying to manipulate all the kids to make sure you like my son rather than saying, you know, Billy, when you hit kids, no one's going to be your friend, honey. So instead of trying to force all the kids and, you know, run interference for them. And that's where good friends come in. Does that make sense? That's where good friends come in. Because we are going to, even as adult children, we are going to take care of an issue for our children. And I asked Lindsay's mother-in-law, what do you think? And she said, I wouldn't do it. I'm like, you're right. They need to, as adults, they need to handle this situation themselves. They need to pay for it and that kind of stuff. And so if we would have fixed the problem, then they miss out on learning to be more disciplined and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. 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 I can tell you all the times I did it wrong.
I feel like I'm kind of in the midst of all that right now, so this isn't really advice, but, well, I guess not my advice from my own great attempts, but Boundaries with Kids has been really good. I've been listening to that book, and it talks a lot about, like, okay, there's times where we project our childhood or ways we were raised onto our kids. I'm definitely leaning to be that mom that's like, oh, she's sad. Oh, I don't want her to be sad, so I'm going to do whatever
right.
I can
right.
to make sure she emotionally feels okay. So that book has been really good. It's like, no, you need to let your kids struggle. Don't project your childhood onto your kids.
Right.
So I think that's a good one. I'm learning a lot of, like, my tendencies from my upbringing.
Right.
And trying to be like, okay, I have to put boundaries against myself.
Right.
And not let her try to make up for these things in my childhood that I wish were different.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
So I was just wondering if you had any advice on what, like, as moms, as we do with the guilt. I have adult children, and I feel like I missed the mark a lot on these prayers for them when they were younger. At one point, we had 2 teenagers, an elementary school kid, and an infant. So making time to pray just didn't seem possible.
Right.
So now I have these adult children, 21 and 25, and I'm watching them, you know, make these mistakes and life decisions, and I am often consumed with guilt for not praying for them like I am for my 9-year-old. I feel like as moms, a lot of our identity is wrapped up in our kids.
Yes.
And especially when they're adults.
Yes.
And we're watching them. So often I just feel consumed with the guilt. I know that God forgives me. I know that wholeheartedly, but the guilt is still like heavy.
Right.
Any advice on how, as moms, we navigate through that guilt?
Yeah. Well, one, like you just said, you have been forgiven. That's a given. But there's nothing that prevents you from praying now. And so, and God knew. He knew your kids. He knew life. He knew, it's none of this has taken him by surprise. And he was providing for your kids all along. And so now, it's like, Lord, thank you that I've forgiven. And I thank you that I now have the time to prayer that, to pray for them diligently. And if they are making silly decisions, that's where you can be so grateful that it's the Holy Spirit that will be after them and correcting them and drawing them. And then there's a whole new things to pray for your kids when they're, and that, I mean, that's a whole new topic. If your kids are straying and making dumb choices, and there's a whole new different way you can start praying for them according to God's will. But God knew. He and the last thing, like any good parent, the last thing you would want is, if your kid did something stupid, the last thing you want is your kid to just keep being stupid. You want him to come back. And the father's like, oh yeah, we've come on now. We got lots of praying to do. Let's got a lot of work to do. Come on now. And so he's just calling us to setting aside and reaching for what lies ahead. And you got a whole new vista. You got, and you could be in that same chapter in O'Housley's book about the praying for your kids. He said prayer can be like a snow falling. And so our answer prayers for our kids could just be for the rest of their lives. We'll be dead. And hopefully there'll be still these in for our grandkids and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah. Yeah, Sherry.
I was just going to say, I can totally relate with feeling like I wish I could have started over. You know, going to these parenting meetings, it's really great reminders, but then I see all the things I wish
right.
I had done differently. And I remember somebody just saying, Sherry, it's never too late. And just that we can always, you know, like start where we're at now. God is so gracious. And I remember just apologizing to my kids at our family lunch. And they're like, you know, I think that spoke to them a lot more than maybe me trying to love them perfectly, which I didn't do. But it's just really cool how gracious God is and that it helps them to see how you process dealing with guilt and getting God's forgiveness. And that's a great model to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was going to also say, I really like this talk that you gave, because I think it's so easy to buy into our world's values of what success is for our kids. We want them to be accomplished. We want them to have good jobs and careers. And yet, what is so cool about praying about these things with our kids through scripture is that we get God's values.
Yes.
And we get reminded that those are the things that are most important. And especially when you're dealing with family and, you know, they're asking, what are you going to be studying in school? What are your grades like? But they don't really talk about, how are you dealing with conflict? How are
right.
you loving others? You know, and so I think as we, you know, as our kids get older
yes.
and our family gets to see how our kids are loving each other, that does really speak volumes to our families about what are the things that are most important.
I agree, Sherry. Yeah, the great, great point. So, so I just pray and close up. All right. God, thank you so much that you love our kids more than we do. Thank you for people's comments and questions, because it does round out the whole teaching, and then there's a confidence level that what you wanted us to consider is what actually was presented. Lord, I thank you that you've given us your Spirit and enable us to pray. And so thanks again for this time. Thanks for these women show up. Thank you for Sherry so faithfully organizing these things year after year. And we pray even now for Liz and the teachings to come in the future, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a Dwell Community Church production.